today is Father's Day, and as you know, nothing is better than a good dad joke, all right? And so as we get into this morning, in honor of Father's Day, I want to share with you a couple of dad jokes. You're either going to laugh or you're going to groan. Either way, it's going to get the effect that we want here this morning, okay? And so bear with me. If these are terrible for you, then your dad never told dad jokes. So work with me here. So here's a couple of them. Whenever the cashier at the grocery store asked my dad if I would like milk in the bag, he replies, "No, you can just leave it in the carton." All right, dad jokes. I'm telling you, dad joke 101. What does a dad buffalo say to his son before leaving for work? Bison, yes. Bison. All right. Again, the groaning is fully understandable and accepted. How do you get a Kleenex to dance? Yes, you do. You put a little bit. Some of you have read these jokes. I stole them off from online. This might be my favorite one. What's Forrest Gump's password? One Forrest One. You got to see the movie. Come on, guys. That was my favorite one, because if one Forrest One. I won't do my Forrest Gump impersonation right now. While backing out of the driveway, the dad responded, "Ah, this takes me back." There are your dad jokes for today this year, guys. And a collective groan. I went searching online for like dad jokes, right? And I even belong to, like, you know, on Facebook you can like different things. And so there's this page that just lists all these terrible jokes that I find hilarious, mind you. So, because I love, if the cornier the joke, the better it is. But this morning we celebrate Father's Day. We celebrate the men in our lives that have impacted us in some way as dads, whether they are our dads or they've been people that have been father figures in our lives. And so this tent stake that you have this morning, it'll represent something here as we go through our series. And it also ties into our series that we're going through called Anchored. You know, we've talked a lot about the importance of being anchored into a life in Christ, being anchored into things that we can do to make sure that we're anchored into who God calls us to be and a life that he calls us to. And it becomes very important because we need to be anchored in something so that no matter what happens in life, we're not just thrown to and fro, like back and forth, but that we're anchored in the things that are truly important. And there's things in life that we need to do that become important with being anchored. But today I really want to talk about a couple of things in terms of celebrating Father's Day, is the value of a father, the heart of God for his people as a father, and also how the church, I believe, in some ways begins to fill that role in the lives of kids who don't have dads in their lives. You know, I've been grateful that I can look back and have a father that was involved in my life, is in my life, and really made sure that I grew up to be a godly man and, you know, a godly husband and someday a godly father. And these things are just important. And so I look back and I realize how grateful I am that in some ways I had something that a lot of people didn't have, and I don't take that for granted. But I also look at the opportunity that we have as a church to be able to fill that role in the lives of somebody that maybe they never had a dad in their life. That doesn't mean there can't be godly male influences in their life. Or maybe, you know, we celebrate the mom who had to play both roles or the dad who had to play both roles. We recognize that this morning. And we celebrate that. And we celebrate you. And we pray for you this morning. So if we can do that, can we pray for our dads and pray for those that have filled those roles? Let's just lift them up in prayer this morning. Father, we ask that in Jesus' name, God, you will encourage every father here this morning, every man who has played a role of a father in the life of a child. Pray for every single father, every single mother, for that you would just be with them as there's, we know in a family there might be something missing, but Lord, we know that, God, you fill the holes and the emptiness and the places in our lives where maybe somebody had left a void. And so, Father, we lift these things up to you. We pray for those that maybe this morning might be mourning a past father, a husband who has passed away, any of those things, Lord, we pray that today they'll find comfort in your word and the knowledge that you are still with them, and we lift them up to you this morning in Jesus' name. So we ask the question again, what is an anchor? An anchor, we know, holds an object in place, or it is a person that provides strength and support. So I remember I went camping with some friends of mine in Rio Vista, not too far from here, a number of years ago, If you guys know anything about our area, and I'm learning a lot about our area, and it's especially true over in Rio Vista, is it can get really, really windy. Very windy. And the day we went camping, not only was it hot and dirty and nasty, it was also windy. And we can know that that heat and wind are a terrible thing. It is just gross. It's nasty. All I wanted to do was go home and not be where we were. And I remember me and my buddy, we put our tent out. We staked it all. We put it all around and we laid the tent down. And I think we had forgotten to put stakes on the ground. Now, when my buddy and I were in the tent, we shared a tent. And it was, you got to imagine, two big guys in a small tent. It was pretty entertaining to watch. When we were in the tent, it wasn't going to go anywhere. It was just going to shake back and forth. But then when we got out of the tent, there was a couple of times I remember just seeing the whole thing lift and try to move to the other side. And we realized it was really important for the tent to be anchored down so that the wind wouldn't take it different places. And so I thought about this tent stake, and I thought about the value of a dad in the lives of somebody, or even somebody in our life that serves as an anchor in our lives. You know, I've talked often about my dad, and I think about the anchor that he has been in my life. The anchor that he has been is, you know, I just wrestled through life and learned how to work through things, and as I struggled through different things, my dad served as an anchor. And so when the world tried to blow me around, when the world tried to push me every which way, there was one anchor that I knew of a few anchors in my life. One of them was my father. And I think that for so many of us, our fathers have served as anchors in our lives, and we're grateful for that. And we know the value that it has served in our life. Because I can look back and realize the many times that my dad just simply was the stake in the ground that held me where I needed to be, even though maybe the world would try to blow me everywhere. And I remember even in high school, there's a specific thing. He said, you know, he was just telling me, guys, he said, Scott, don't pursue popularity, pursue integrity. Those are the things that are going to be important in the long run. Anchor in my life. When he showed me how to treat a wife, when he showed me what it meant to be a husband, what it meant to be a father, you know what that showed? That was an anchor in my life. You know, and I watched him, and I shared this story about how he worked with my mom through her muscular dystrophy. You know, he served as an anchor in my life. And it modeled to me, and it reminded me of the value of a father. And so this morning, we want to look at three different things. There's a couple of verses that I want us to look at this morning. One of them is in Ephesians 5, 25 through 27. And it simply says this. It's a well-known passage. Husbands, love your wives just as Christ has loved the church and gave himself up for her to make her holy, cleansing her by the washing with water through the word, and present her to himself as a radiant church without stain or wrinkle, any other blemish, but holy and blameless. In the same way, husbands ought to love their wives as their own body. He loves his wife, loves himself. And really, you know, the Lord is challenging husbands to love their wives as Christ loves the church. And again, we talked about this. In this culture, women had really very little rights or anything. And so the husband could really do whatever they wanted with their family. And the Lord is reminding them, treat them with high value. Remember that how you treat your wife, how you treat your children, you're doing it as unto me. You're doing it as one who claims to follow me. And so he begins to talk about the importance of loving your family, loving your wife. And he talks on a little later about, you know, how you love your children. And so God takes seriously the role of fathers in the lives of their family. In James 1:27, it goes on and it says this, and we're going to tie these things together. The religion that God our Father accepts as pure and faultless is this, to look after the orphans and the widow in their distress and to keep oneself from being polluted by the world. Now again, we realize this tent peg, it represents the anchors that fathers represent in our lives, the anchor that God our Father represents in our lives, and also the anchor that we can serve in the life of somebody that maybe doesn't have the stability that some of us have had in our lives. And I think so much about the people that I have worked with in my life, and I think about the people that maybe I've had opportunity to bring encouragement to. And I think that maybe each of us has the opportunity to be a tent peg in the life of somebody to help anchor them in some capacity when maybe somebody else has dropped the ball. And so when we go out and we invite kids to VBS this week, when we go and invite people to church on a Sunday, when we go and just love on a kid in a way that maybe there isn't a mom or a dad present, we serve as a tent peg in their life to help bring stability in the midst of whatever kind of chaos the world might bring them sometimes. And I believe that God is always challenging his church to live up to its responsibility and its call. Again, to be a light in dark places, to be a city on a hill, to be, again, the salt and light to the world. You know, and it's very simple. It's simply living out the life that God calls us to. And maybe another way to say it is to be a tent peg in the life of somebody that doesn't have any stability. And so when you give a ride to somebody that needs help, you're being a tent peg. When you're helping somebody work through a difficult time in their life, you're being a tent peg in their life. Because the world wants to take the tent and just blow it everywhere. But where are we taking the opportunity to something as silly as a tent peg can remind you day in and day out of the role that you can play in your family, the role that you can play in the church, and the role that you can play in the community of helping be a stable anchor in the life of somebody that needs it. And so we want to make sure, by the way, that at the end of the service today, that every family has one of these. And that maybe you can put it somewhere as a reminder. I have one of these in my office. And every time I see it, I remember this message. And I remember this idea and this concept of that somehow I can serve as an anchor in the life of somebody. And so we realize that no matter what the storm, the tent stakes job is to bring stability. We live in a world where maybe many don't have stability, and maybe many are looking for an anchor. And the reality is storms come and go, but the anchor remains. And so we have a need for fathers to be an anchor. Fathers are an anchor to their family. You know, and I'm grateful again that my dad served as an anchor for me and my brother. You know, we look back and we realize in some ways I understood stability because he provided stability, provided safety, certainty for when our family would go through difficult times. There was just things that were stable. And so there needs to be a remaining for stability. And I want to show you a video really quick. I don't know if were you able to get that, Kent. We want to watch this video really quick. If you can, turn your eyes to the screen. I don't know if you've ever seen that movie. That scene gets me every time. He just reaches up to his dad and he says, "You're a good papa." And then I realized that in this movie, it's actually based on a situation, a family that really was going through this in San Francisco. Matter of fact, the man that Will Smith plays actually has a cameo in the movie. And it talks about how this dad, in the midst of trying to find work, is also trying to keep his family together. And he's just day in and day out trying to find a way to keep stability and certainty in his son's life. And so sometimes they're in a rescue mission, sometimes they're in a homeless shelter. In one scene, it shows them having been locked up in a bathroom. They locked themselves in a bathroom in a BART station in San Francisco just so that they wouldn't take his son away from him, because he was wanting to provide the one thing for his son, and that was stability. And so we realize that it's a powerful reality, is that a father can provide security and provision. In Scripture, a child and a widow could not adequately take care of themselves. And so when Jesus said to them, when they wrote in Scripture that the husbands, love your wives as Christ loves the church, he's saying, listen, love them as I love them, that you would give yourself for them, that you're not above them, but you're below them, or you're with them and you're serving them and you're loving them. Because again, when you look in the New Testament, we realize that, again, kids had little to no rights and women had little to no rights. And so God is calling them to, listen, be their security, be their protection, be for them, be with them, and watch out for them. And I believe that God calls fathers to be these things. Where are we providing security for our family? Where are we providing stability for our family? And I tell people over and over, the safest place I was growing up was my home. We'd gone through all kinds of things, but I always felt safe at home because my mom and my dad would provide that for my brother and I. And I was grateful for that. I didn't realize, again, sometimes how rare that could be. And my dad did it because he didn't always have that in his home. You know, he would tell stories about what home life was like for him, and it wasn't what I had. But my dad, he made an intentional decision to give us something different. And I'm reminded of this verse where my dad, what did he do? He lived out the kind of husband that God had called him to be, and the kind of father that God had called him to be. And so we realize there's this call for these things. And then I realize culture has shifted, and many good things have happened where, you know, a parent can't sell their kid into slavery anymore, or they can't just get away with abusing their families without some sort of repercussion. But there still remains that reality that where are we looking out for the best for our families to provide security and strength? And I believe that God calls fathers to be these things for their families. He calls them to be an anchor. We go on to realize in this passage where James is talking about the church, he goes, that our father, what he calls the perfect religion, is that you look after the orphans and widows in the distress and you live a holy life. And again, it reminds us that our Heavenly Father calls us to remain anchored in Him. And so where God calls our fathers to be anchors in their family, God calls us to remain anchored in our Heavenly Father. And so when you think about this tent peg, where does it remind you that we're called to be people anchored in our Heavenly Father? This continues to build off of what we've talked about over the last few weeks. Is where am I making sure that I'm anchored in my life in Christ? Where am I anchored in my Heavenly Father? Trusting that He is leading. Trusting that where He calls me to go, how He calls me to live, though I may not always understand it, I can trust Him because God can serve as an and should serve as an anchor in my life. And so we look at Father's Day this morning, and I pray that you're reminded this morning of your Heavenly Father and His desire to be centered in your life so that you can remain anchored in Him. Because again, storms come and go, things happen, life happens. But where you anchor yourself says a lot about where your life will end up. We all face difficulty. We all face some sort of challenge. I've often found the difference is in how people anchor their lives in Christ and in their own life, how they allow the Holy Spirit to live out in them and they remain obedient to the life that God calls them to. And so again, we must be anchored in Christ. We keep oneself, the Bible says, polluted from the world. And so it's a pursuit of living holy in the world that we live in. It's not letting the world's ideas and letting the world's ways of living and thinking get into our hearts and minds. It doesn't mean we live separate from the world, meaning you still live in the world that we live in. But where do I let the Holy Spirit be the one that impacts what I think about? Where do I think on the things, whatever is true, holy, just, honest, of good report? Be there any virtue or any praise? What does it say? Think on these things. And so where am I intentionally allowing the Holy Spirit to be the one who is a loud voice in my life? And I think all of us, you can remember your father's voice, right? At one time, I was driving from Yuba City, I'm sure, back to Bethany in Scotts Valley, and I spent 3 hours practicing sounding like my dad. So then I called my dad, and I said, hello, this is Richard Tuttle. And I don't do it with all now, but I remember I called him, and I was so proud of myself because I nailed it. I was just like, I sound just like my dad. And so, and he has two voices. There was the professional voice when he answered at the paint store, and then there was like, so he'd be like really deep. And then when I'd say, hey, it's Scott. Oh, hey, son. He's like, it'd go up an octave. And I'm like, but I knew my dad's voice. So often, just as we know the voice of our dad, how do we make sure that we know the voice of God when He speaks to us? Other than we're regularly spending time with Him. I know my dad's voice because I spent time with him. You know the Father's voice because you spend time with Him. And pretty soon you start sounding like Him. And pretty soon the heart of the Father begins to impact our hearts, and pretty soon we start sounding, man, that compassion that you demonstrated, that sounds a lot like God. Man, that love for people, that sure sounds a lot like God's voice speaking to you. And so when we look at where we're anchored, we've got to be anchored in Him, in His presence, in our life in Christ. And so we spend time in God's Word, we spend time in prayer, we do all these things, mostly because I want my greatest influence to be from the Holy Spirit at work in my life, where I'm anchored in Him. And that tent peg in my life, it represents God anchoring me in the midst of whatever I may go through. And so some of us, we go through difficult situations. And the thing that we can trust is that if God is our anchor, He's going to be our stability. And we can hope in that, and we can trust in that. Our ability to adequately accomplish what God calls us to do is a call for us to be living a holy life. So I need to remain anchored in Christ because others depend on it, because I depend on it. I was dependent on my dad being anchored in his faith in Christ. I was dependent on my dad trusting in God and spending time in prayer. He still every morning at 4:30 prays for his family. And I can know that every day the prayers of my father still anchor my life to do what it is that God calls me to do. And so it's a reminder to me that where am I remaining anchored in Christ, because I realize not only do I depend upon it, but others depend upon it. My wife depends upon me being anchored. My kids will someday depend on me being anchored. Our church depends on us being anchored in our life in Christ. It's what he calls us to. You know, and he has this booklet. My dad has these 1,000 little booklets that he writes all of his notes in. I kind of begin to realize why I write notes everywhere too. It's like he kind of does the same thing. And I realize in it, he has this prayer list that he prays through. You know, and he's probably far more consistent with these things than I ever am. And I realize that it's because of that, is that he's remained a stable anchor in my life, and I'm grateful for that. And I believe that God calls each of us to do that, and he calls us to be anchored in him so that we can be an anchor for other people. And so the last thing I want us to look at this morning is the church can be called to be this father anchor in our culture. So you know why a team from North Dakota comes to a place like Vacaville that most of them probably never heard of it? If you have, congratulations, right? Other than, you know, I've told them all about In-N-Out Burger. Hopefully they go if they haven't been there. I'm getting hungry for In-N-Out now. But you realize we do this because we believe that God calls the church to be the anchor in the life of a kid. Right now we have 30 kids registered. Hopefully they all show up. Hopefully more come. And they realize this, is that the whole underlying reason why we do the things we do is because God calls the church to be an anchor in a world that knows no stability. Heather and I are going through this TV show I think it's moved to Netflix. It was on ABC or something. It's called Designated Survivor. And so, I mean, it's this whole, like, kind of, you know, crazy mystery drama. Like, you know, Designated Survivor is the one person that when there's a State of the Union, they have one Designated Survivor. So if something happens to the rest of all the leadership, there's one person that would still remain. And so in the story, like, all of Congress and the Senate and all that, all of them die in this kind of like tragic situation. So there's this one man who should never be. And throughout the whole story, there's this thing where he's trying to, in the midst of the country going through all this chaos, he's trying to remain that anchor. So he's like saying, listen, I'm the president now. He's having to continually remind people that he's got to serve as that anchor in the midst of all these things. And it's a really a fascinating show because, of course, every episode is crisis, right? I mean, a show would be boring if there wasn't some suspense going on. But I just reminded how often the world is needing the church to be an anchor. It's not needing the church to be the judge. It's not needing the church to be the jury. It doesn't need the church to somehow keep pointing out everything wrong with them. They need the church to point them towards the one who can make things right, and the one that provides stability, the one that, again, can be that tent stake in their life. The religion that our Heavenly Father has built us on is this, that we look after orphans and the widow. And I would argue that maybe it's a heart for broken people. And maybe our mission to be an anchor for those in need, that should be my mission. That should be your mission. That should be our mission, is that we are called to be an anchor in the world that God has called us in. God did not call you to come be a part of Sanctuary Church just so you can have your church. He called you to be a part of Sanctuary Church so that we can be an anchor in our community to the lives of people that need Jesus. I'll tell you over and over, at some point, church doesn't become about what you and I want. It becomes about what God calls us to do to impact the community that we live in. I come here so that God can regularly bring me in to a community of people so that I can live out the kind of life that God calls me to day in and day out, when I'm at work, when I'm shopping at Walmart, when I am wherever I am. And so our greatest call as a church is how we live it out the other 6.5 days of the week. Because here I'm coming so that I can be a part of a community of believers that encourage me, that build me up, that lift me up, that support me when I'm going through difficult things. And honestly, I find sometimes the best support I need is just knowing that somebody's with me. How many of you know oftentimes nobody's going to have a quick fix in the midst of our situations? Now, God can provide healing and miracles, but oftentimes what he also provides is his church to help us walk through whatever we're going through. And so I reminded the church is the anchor in the world that we live in. And so it asks this question, who's the orphan and the widow in our culture? Who's the one that God is calling you to reach out to that's broken, that's hurting? They're saying, listen, that family, man, they need somebody who's like a father for them. And it could be any of us. But how are we serving as a carrying out the father heart of God in the community that God calls us to? I remember there's a camp that, I'll actually tell you an inside story here really quick. I got involved with a ministry called Royal Family Kids Camp. Now, I was involved with it for a number of years before Heather and I started dating. And there was one I worked with in Santa Cruz. It's called Royal Family Kids Camp. And they help kids in the foster care system. And these kids, man, some of the stuff they go through, it's terrible. Now, we had one kid who saw his mom commit suicide. We had another kid that we actually had to call the police on him because he was in rage. I've never seen rage like I saw in this child. It literally left the whole camp in tears. The leadership, it's like we had to all collect ourselves because you're seeing this 8-year-old kid being driven away in a car and you're trying to understand what the heck just happened. Other than this kid was angry. But we were called to continue to minister to these kids in Royal Family Kids Camp. And Royal Family, it helps, again, it's a week where foster kids can come and go and get away and just be treated like royalty. And that was the idea behind Royal Family. And so they'd throw birthday parties for them, and they would hear about Jesus, and they would, man, they would be loved on in a way that so many of them wouldn't go. And so by the end of the week, a lot of these kids, they come at the beginning, and some of them, they just don't want anything to do with anything. And by the end of it, man, they don't want to go home. And so one of the royal families I was involved with was in Santa Cruz. There was another one that a church in San Jose was putting on, and I used it as an excuse to call my wife. I'm not lying. And so I use it. So it's also a great way to get connected with your future wife, for any of the guys there. But I remember I started helping out at the royal family that the church Heather was at was putting on. And that's where the scenario with the boy and the having to call the police. It was tough because you would see the brokenness and the hurt and the wounds and the stories. Every year you'd hear these stories from these kids and you're like, God, why did these kids have to go? Why did they have to go through these things? Why do they have to suffer the way that they do? Why do some of them endure the things they do that I will in my lifetime never come close to experiencing? And then I'm reminded of what Jesus said, or what James wrote in James, that God our Father calls us to look after the orphan and the widow. He calls us to look after the broken and the wounded. When I was hungry, you fed me. When I was naked, you clothed me. When I was hurting, when I was wounded. And sometimes it doesn't always, you know, we're not always excited about doing that, right? You might get a phone call late at night. You might see something, and I don't think God is asking you to do it because you feel like it all the time. I think you do it because of God's heart in you. And if we truly have the Father heart of God, I believe that we'll see the church really impact the world as he intended. I will not change the world through my politics. I will not change the world through my opinions. I will not change the world through any other thing than simply living out the life God calls me to and loving people as God has called me to. So this morning we look at this tent peg and it asks a simple question. Where are you an anchor in the life of somebody that needs it this morning? Where are you an anchor in the life of somebody that needs it? And maybe some of you to be reminded of how you are serving it as an anchor. Very easy to get caught up in comparing ourselves. Oh man, I'm like, I'm never going to be like Billy Graham. Nobody's going to be like Billy Graham. Nobody ever will be. And that's okay, because he hasn't called you to be like, oh, I'm not, man, I wish I could do this like this person. Why? Be who God made you to be in the life of the people that need you. I still remember the day that I left Yuba City to go and serve as an intern with an evangelist, and we would travel all over Northern California. And the youth pastor, he just simply said, "How many of you ever had a ride from Scott?" It was the last service I was going to be a part of. And all these kids stood up. I was floored, because I'm like, all I did for a lot of my time as a youth leader in my church was I gave everybody a ride, because I loved driving, I loved my car, and they knew that if they rode with me, they'd get soda at AM PM. It just was bound to happen. And so I invested hundreds of dollars in AM PM. And I realized that, you know, it was, you know how many conversations I had with all these kids driving them to their house? How many dad jokes I probably told, even though I wasn't even a dad yet, because I've loved corny jokes since I was way young. And I just think, like, so often we feel like the things that we might think are either insignificant, or, you know, sometimes we think, oh, that's just going to be inconvenient. You know, it's very inconvenient. Imagine if you live in Fairfield and you got to give a ride to somebody in Dixon, and you do that two or three times a week because you want to make sure they're in church. I did that for a friend of mine named Tom, because I knew how necessary he needed to be in church. His mom wasn't stable, literally. His dad wasn't a stability. And the one stability that we were able to provide was the fact that I would spend gas, going from little Sutter, California, all the way to Marysville. And then I'd bring him to church, and I'd drive all the way back to Marysville, and then I'd go all the way home. He needed an anchor. He needed an anchor. And I pray that God's heart for people is in our hearts, because the heart of God will cause you to drive people places that you don't want to go. It'll cause you to answer phone calls maybe that you don't want to. But maybe it'll also cause you to be a stability in the life of somebody that needs it. Because that's what God calls his church to be this morning. So if you can come and just begin to play. I just want to invite you this morning as we stand, just to stand and close your eyes. And I want you to consider the story of the prodigal son this morning as we close our eyes. Look at the story of the prodigal son. A father that waited for his son to return, didn't know when he was going to return, didn't know if he was going to return. And yet it says that when he was far off, he went and met him. He went and grabbed the most beautiful robe and threw it upon him. And then he threw a party. His son was ready to come back and say, "Listen, Dad, I'll come back as a servant because I realize I've disgraced our family. I realize that I have cost you your name, potentially." But his daddy goes, I'm not going to hear any of that. We're going to celebrate. We're going to kill the fatted calf." I mean, it had really juicy burgers or a really good steak. I'm not quite sure. Whichever one you need. But in all that, he said, when he was far off, if you ever want to know the Father, heart of God, if you ever want to know the heart of God, Jesus said two things. If you've seen me, you've seen the Father. So when you see how Jesus was and acted and lived, he demonstrated God's heart to his people. But then we also see the story that he told about a father who celebrated. And in the story, what is the brother becomes jealous, right? Sometimes we don't always act as we ought to when somebody comes to Jesus or when somebody comes home. Now let's be like the father, that we're running to the people that need to hear about Jesus. That when we see somebody come to Jesus and we're celebrating, and that we're giving them the best, we're giving them whatever it is that is necessary, because we're celebrating what God is doing in the lives of his people. This morning I pray somewhere, somehow, you're being a tent peg in the life of somebody this morning. Eva's going to lead us in some worship, and I want to invite you to worship, and we want to invite our prayer team back up. And if you do need prayer, we want to invite you for prayer. We also want to invite you, if you do not have a relationship with Jesus this morning, we want to invite you to that. We believe in the transforming power of what God can do in your life. And so in the back, we have what's called an I Have Decided table. And it's really a simple prayer. It's simply saying, "God, forgive me of my sins. Come into my life. I make a decision to follow you from this day forward." And let God do that work in your life. And if you say that prayer and you mean that prayer and you want to know more about what it means to follow him, Olga is in the back corner. She'd love to talk to you more about it and get you some resources. and some things that can help you. For rest of us, maybe just during this time of worship, for the next few minutes before we leave, you can just allow the Holy Spirit to speak to you this morning. Who is it that God may be calling you to be a tent peg in their life? The person that's helping get somebody here on a Sunday. The person that's answering the phone call when life is difficult. The person willing to give whatever ridiculous ride to wherever because you know that it's an extension of God's heart. Because ultimately, we want people to come to know and follow Jesus, don't we? That's our mission. That's what it is that God has called this church to do this morning. Let's worship together.